Hello, you're listening to PN Talk. Today we're going to talk about the European Union. Some problems are threatening the European Union since a long time now. The wind is changing in the European Union. The European Commission appears to be the main problem. Quickly remind, the European Commission is the European Union's supreme political authorities and its key strategic and crisis-solving body. It has been shown that the Commission's influence in the European Union foreign policy decision-making processes is substantial. Now we have to ask how the Commission makes their influence on the Member States' position and thus the common European Union foreign policy agreed on. We stand for a European Union that is more independent from national government and directly empowered by European citizens. The Commission should be prepared to act. Our subject today will be based on the overpowerful national government and the problems of European Union.
The EU is often said to have a lack of political authority. There are many potential sources of this authoritative deficit. One may be the general fight between a confederal and a federal constitutional structure, where those who support a broad and relatively loose union that caters to all its members want fewer and broader consensus-based decisions to be made. And those who seek a more federal structure, where the European Union has more authority, want more of the power to be centred in the European Parliament. A related issue is based on the conflict between those who value a more senatorial system and those who value a simple majority, even on a European level. Another issue working to weaken the power of the European Union is how hard it is to attribute wealth and prosperity to membership of the EU versus good national governance. The further away a decision is made, the harder it is to give due credit. A last potential issue is how the European Union provides many rights and liberties to its citizens, liberties that some countries do not want. The EU promotes liberal democracy, but at least Hungary and Poland are currently moving away from slow liberal democracy into a more majoritarian system. There are some potential fixes to the EU. One is a multi-speed Europe, where some parts integrate faster than others. Another is a more parliamentary system on par with the German, Dutch or even British structures. Another potential fix is another go at a European Union constitution, a set of higher laws governing the EU and its member states, at least to an extent, could move the debate on from basic constitutionalism to ordinary politics.
Let's now take a look at the presidency of the European Council.
In order to create and maintain the equality between all the members of the EU, the presidency changes every 6 months. So even that the smallest country is able to take decisions and lead the Council in the same way as France or Germany would.
Even though the six-month system has been created to give as much power to every country, some conditions need to be respected. Indeed, the presidency are national governments, and these national governments need to be very fair. It could be tempting, perhaps, to put forward some industry, geographical areas, and so on.
Finally, despite of the trial system where 3 countries are leading the Council for 18 months, the mandate duration is still short, meaning a lot of transitions. And transitions are bad for political decision-making. Firstly, even every national government doesn't have to lead the same projects, doesn't have the same schedule and aims. So every 6 months, the schedule and purpose of the Council change. Also, transitions take some time, and the Council presidency is less efficient during transition times.
Bilateral meetings between the major states such as the German-French summits, we can see every year discussing matters that are related with the whole European Union.
Shortly after the end of the Second World War, the Lisset Treaty was signed between France and Germany. This treaty, briefly detailed under 6 pages, sets regular consultations in the matters of defence, education or youth issues, as well as schedules a minimum of 2 summits per year between the heads of the government and every 3 months for the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
This milestone in the international relationship of both countries is also considered an engine of EU integration. However, it has been object of criticism too. It is said that the fact that the two of the largest countries in the European Union would work together in a common position may lead to the bilateral meetings to predetermine the final decision and therefore to the impossibility of further negotiations for the rest of the states, which would be left as mere spectators. In other words, a compromise between just the 2 countries would be able to affect the whole union.
On the other hand, the importance of cooperation among two nations, often thought as opposites, cannot be denied. Identifying whether there should become a European compromise and evaluating the possibilities for breaking deadlocks and making progression in EU negotiations is nowadays a main issue in democratic policies.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the lack of national political resources and some solution based on cases.
Okay, increasing the EU budget may be one of the possible solutions. Nowadays, the EU budget is 1% of the gross national incomes of the EU economies. However, due to the Brexit, there is going to be a hole of 40 million euros per year. But many people see this as an opportunity to boost the budget. Now, it's been discussed the multi-annual financial framework from 2020 to 2027, and an increment is required to fulfill the British contribution. In this point, it's where the problems arrive. On one side, in the member states level, there is a battle between the north and the south, between the east and the west, and everybody against the Commission. It's very difficult to think about any new money being put in forward. Here, it's where we can find the fact that an issue that, in my opinion, would be processed better by the EU institution and has its main stakes on the national governments.
On the other side, the EC is setting its position on 1.1 to 1.2% of gross national income, and the EPA is calling for an increase to 1.3% of GDP to fund new priorities in transform farming and cohesion policies, which make up the bulk of European Union fundings.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the talk, and I see you after the break.